Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
The theme so far tonight has been kind of the international money scene.
Oh, I thought you were going to say house pancakes.
I've never actually been to one of those places.
I question their international portion. There's probably like one in Canada or something, but like I've never seen one outside of the U.S.
It's the international house of purchasing power.
It would just different be IHOP. The house of pancakes, the hop.
Here in the studio, it is.
Let's do the hop. Peakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass is here.
So we started out talking about the international money scene with the potential for Saudi Arabia to start taking other currencies for its oil that it sells, which led to the discussion of, well, you know, if the dollar is no longer the world reserve currency, what will become the market's choice for reserve currency without the coercion of the U.S. military threatening people into taking its dollar? Because if Saudi Arabia stops taking it, that kind of ends the game.
It ends the monopoly.
Yeah, and not even if Saudi Arabia stops taking the dollar, but if Saudi Arabia starts taking anything other than the dollar.
Yeah, I wasn't so sorry. I didn't mean to say they would not take the dollar, but allowing other purchases from other currencies. And then, you know, would Bitcoin have a role? Or would it be something like a gold-backed stable coin, which is what we were just talking about, where apparently Iran and Russia are in talks to create a gold-backed stable coin, which would perhaps be riding on an existing cryptocurrency network? Because the idea that they would launch their own cryptocurrency network seems pretty implausible. I mean, they are governments. They pretty much suck at doing everything. Governments can't do anything technically. So they always have to hire people, and even then they still can't do it after pouring in hundreds of millions of dollars into various different, you know, online systems and such. So it seems like they would likely ride on an existing cryptocurrency platform, but they haven't gone so far as to make any kind of announcements like that. So we don't know where this is in its development stage beyond just the talking about it thing.
Well, it seems to be that they're currently creating a committee to do so. So
okay.
That's
what governments do. They make committees. And then they talk more. Well, this could take years, but good luck to them.
Well, and that's the thing. When it comes to a sea change in the global financial market, you have to get the timing just right. Because, I mean, sure, Russia has been getting a little more gold and a little more gold and a little bit more gold all of this time because they don't know when they're going to get kicked off the SWIFT system. Mm-hmm. And now they've gotten kicked off the SWIFT system, so that moves us further into a massive change. But when exactly is the trigger going to get pulled? Mm-hmm. Now, I think that it's going to be when Saudi Arabia accepts something other than dollars for oil. But maybe it'll be some other thing that ends up being the big trigger. And you are seeing, like, a lot of the fundamentals of the financial system in the world are breaking down right now. So, like, Japan's economy their market is so volatile that even Coinbase won't operate there anymore.
Coinbase being one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges in the United States, if not on the planet. So they were in Japan, but now they're saying goodbye?
Yep. They've told everyone in Japan, look, you have until the 16th of February to get all of your stuff off of our exchange, and then we're selling all of it for yen, and you can pick it up later, because we are out of this country, this market is too volatile for us, and with good reason.
Too volatile for cryptocurrency.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Is this because of the... I feel like Japan's been in the news for, like, doing crazy things with its currency. Like, what's going on over there?
Well, so... all of their corporations are zombie corporations.
Define that.
So a zombie corporation is where you are no longer making a profit, basically. You can't make enough money to pay off the interest on your loans. Mm. So you just have to keep rolling your loans over. And the only thing that's propping these companies up, and especially the banks, like 100% of their banks are zombie banks. And the only thing that's propping all these companies up is that Japan keeps printing more and more yen, and they can't even slow down their yen production.
How is that different from what the U.S. is doing? Because you just described the U.S.
Ah, they're not the reserve currency. Is the difference.
Okay, all right.
Exactly. Nobody needs yen in order to buy oil. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs yen to keep the U.S. out of their backyard. And that's the problem. So in order to prop up their yen, what they've had to turn to doing, because they have been one of, if not the largest buyers of American treasuries,
mm-hmm.
which, unless you have buyers of treasuries, America can't print dollars. Now, they can buy their own treasuries, but that really doesn't help that much. So if you don't have a certain amount of non-Fed buying of treasuries, then they can't effectively print money anymore. So Japan has moved from being, if not the number one of the biggest buyers of treasuries, it is now not only not buying any treasuries.
It's selling them.
It is selling treasuries, using the money that it gets from those treasuries to buy yen, thus propping up the value of yen so that it doesn't collapse completely in the world economy. But that puts this huge pressure on the American dollar. And at this point, things have gotten so bad that, and I mean, as far as I see it, a coin exchange is essentially a very, very fast-moving bank. They're essentially like a bank, but they move very quickly. And they have to. So the fastest-moving banks in Japan, internationally, are getting out of there now. So I think this is going to keep snowballing.
And hold on,
other international banks are going to start pulling out of Japan soon.
Okay, so from Coinbase's perspective, why do they care whether people in Japan are using their exchange? Doesn't it benefit them to have people in Japan using the exchange regardless of what the Japanese government is doing with the yen?
Because if they are printing yen so big and so fast, and you use a bunch of those yen to buy, say, Bitcoin, and then you pull the Bitcoin off of their exchange, you're trading worthless paper for actually worthwhile currency.
Well, why couldn't they just say, we're just not going to take yen deposits anymore.
Well,
we're getting rid of yen from the exchange. But if y'all want to come on and say, you know, take Bitcoin and exchange it for Ethereum, we don't care. We'll take 1%
of that.
Well, because
government, right? Like in Japan, the government's only going to allow yen to be like the major currency, right?
No, but what I'm saying is, from a business perspective, it's just not worth it to onboard people or whatever if they're not going to get fresh money coming into their system. I was just saying, there's plenty of crypto exchanges that are crypto only exchanges where you cannot put yen or dollars or any of these things into their system,
right.
And they make money on each trade, right? And so does Coinbase. Coinbase makes money every time you trade something on their platform. So it's like, why would you want to tell the Japanese people, hey, screw you, because your government sucks? I think that it seems like a little short-sighted to me, but I'm not running their business.
So at all. I mean, I see exactly why they've been doing this. Like, get out of this, because this is a sinking ship. Because that's the thing, a big part of this is just you don't know what's about to happen. And that uncertainty means that you might catch a curveball and it destroys you. Because that's the thing. They have shareholders. They have people that they're making business deals with. And more interest is in that case. So in order to make sure that those business deals don't fall through, they're pulling out of where the market is too insane.
Mm.
So and they haven't really explained exactly how they came to the conclusion that the market hang on, let me see if I can get
Didn't
there.
You also say off the air that Kraken, which is also another U.S.-based cryptocurrency exchange, has also withdrawn from the Japanese market?
Yeah, I think it was a little over a week ago. Yeah, Kraken already withdrew from Japan completely.
Wow.
Yeah, so Kraken is out of there. Coinbase has just announced that they're out of there due to changes in the market environment. So
they released the Kraken and then they took it back?
Wow. Must have been a fight with Mothra. But yeah, so from my perspective, the fastest moving, the most nimble banks in the world are getting out of Japan now.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, they are the ones that are the, like, they can't really afford to take the most hits.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is going to snowball. I think other banks that are also, you know, the little guys are going to start going, ooh, let's go ahead and just get out of Japan while we can. Because you're seeing the... It's just one of those things that it's okay if you push this into the future, it's going to be a bigger problem. Okay, if you push this into the future, it's going to be a bigger problem. And we're finally hitting the wall where Japan can no longer push into the future the problem that none of their businesses are functional.
Yeah, the whole zombie business thing sounds like a pretty ugly situation. And then you combine that with the fact that they're not reproducing in Japan, like the actual population is waning, right? Because people, for whatever reason, there's a bunch of incel guys there, and the whole family structure has just fallen apart. People just aren't having babies.
It only goes to prove my theory that I'm huge in Japan.
Well, and... not only are they not having babies, but, like, just the people have withdrawn from the entire social agreement. They're mm-hmm. like, okay, I know that I have no chance to ever get ahead in this system, so why bother?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this
just stay home, play video games.
Yeah, and it's this enormous 180 because usually that Japanese work ethic has been just
right.
Astonishing. Like, they just grind hard forever. Like, they work hard and they party hard, but they will just put an unbelievable amount of work in,
mm-hmm.
and now it's moving, like, from 120% to 2%.
Mm.
So, and that's the thing. Like, we have reaped, we have sown the wind, we are reaping the whirlwind. People who believe in sound monetary policy have said for decades, hey, you can't actually get rid of risk. You can only move it around. And what everyone's been deciding to do is like, well, we'll just put all the risk in one basket so that, well, none of the little things will just break on their own. Either everything breaks all together at once, mm-hmm. or nothing breaks. And it'll just be too dangerous to let everything break at once, so no one will ever let it all break at once.
Yeah, meanwhile, people don't want to work. And it may not just be a Japanese thing. We're right. seeing it here in the United States as well, where there's help wanted signs up everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've had a story sitting in show prep here that, according to RT.com, more Brits are also making excuses for not working, according to official data. So this isn't just a one-country problem. This is happening in a lot of places.
They don't have to worry, though, because they're in a country that's great.
Mental health issues are keeping Britain's younger population out of work at record levels at a time when the country struggles with a worsening economic crisis, according to Bloomberg. And, of course, over there, they're having trouble just paying the power bill
yeah.
because of the energy situation that they brought upon themselves by sanctioning Russia.
Mm-hmm.
According to the data compiled by the Office for National Statistics, the country's young working age people are suffering from so-called long-term health issues that are keeping them out of work at increasingly alarming rates. The report shows there was a 29% increase in 16 to 24-year-olds citing long-term sickness as a reason for being economically inactive. I mean, 16 to 24-year-olds should be, like, the healthiest group of people.
You would think.
Right?
So except that it's long-term mental illness instead of
thing.
Physical illness.
Yeah. And so should 25 to 34-year-olds, who 42% said the same thing. 42% of people aged 25 to 34 in Great Britain are saying, I'm just not feeling it. I'm too messed up to work. I can't think straight or whatever. Data reported for the second quarter of 2022 compared to the same period before the pandemic. The report indicates the youngest workers have been facing a recession and wages that fail to keep up with double-digit inflation.
Oh, wow, weird.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Like, we are facing a global problem because we have one global money system, and it's fiat.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you can't just get away with fiat. It causes problems. And eventually, those problems build up. And one of the problems that it causes is, okay, when you have fiat, you can't save value in the money. Well, guess what? Humans need to save value. We need to in order to survive. That is how we don't die. So we will find other ways to do it. We'll save that value in stocks. We'll save that value in land. Okay, well, if you save that value in land, that means that the housing prices don't actually reflect the value of the house. They're the value of the house plus this monetary premium because everyone's using this as a vehicle for savings.
Right.
And that means that none of the young people who don't already have a house can ever afford one.
Yep.
And if you don't give them the hope that at some point they will have enough of their bills behind them
mm-hmm.
that they can stop working, if you don't give them any hope whatsoever that that will ever occur, then of course you remove all of the incentive for them to bother.
Right. I mean, even if there's a big housing crash, and there may be one on the horizon, given
eventually.
Things are likely not going well financially, if there's a big housing crash, if you're not working at all, you sure as hell aren't going to be able to get out from behind whatever bills you have to the point where you could even get a cheap house
right.
Because you're just not working. You've given up.
Yeah. And I still think a housing crash will happen, but it'll probably be like the last thing to happen because it's one of those you always fight the war that you just finished. So like all of the preparations now are for the last big collapse. And the last big collapse was all in the real estate market. So all of the buttresses are we're ready for it. We're ready for the big one. All of that backing is on the housing side, it's on real estate, which means it's not in the everywhere else that is also crashing.
Right. Work-related stress, they say here, was listed as the so-called biggest driver of inactivity among 50 to 54-year-olds. The report indicates that the youngest workers have been facing the recession. As we mentioned, statistics show that overall mental health issues account for a total of around 600,000 economically inactive people across all age groups, a 10% increase on pre-pandemic figures. According to Louise Murphy, an economist at the Resolution Foundation, health among the younger UK generation was already deteriorating, she says, quite dramatically before the pandemic. But the issue has become more acute since. So yeah, you took a bunch of people who were already moving in the direction of being more alone, spending more time by themselves on a device rather than connecting in reality with people of their own age or of different ages or whatever, and then you just told them, okay, now you can't even leave your house. Now you have no chance of connecting with anyone. It just exacerbated the existing situation.
And one of the sad things about this is that these problems have been a long time coming, and now instead of actually dealing with these problems, it'll just be, oh, well, all of that only happened because of COVID and because of the lockdowns of COVID, when, okay, that made it worse,
it did.
And that made it happen a lot faster, but these were already on their way.
There's no doubt that COVID has accelerated the mental health problems in this age group, said the CEO of mental health charity Sane, Marjorie Wallace, was quoted by Bloomberg. She said further, they've been out of schools, potentially exposed to fractious domestic atmospheres at home, and spent more time on social media. The National Health Service digital data shows that 1 out of 4 17 to 9-year-olds in Britain have had a probable mental disorder last year, up from 1 in 6 in 2021. So even more people in a younger age are messed up in the head than previously. The number of inactive males with mental health issues reportedly increased to 37,000 last year, up by more than 100% from figures just 15 or so years ago, and substantially higher levels than seen among women. So, I mean, how does this get better?
The incentive structure needs to be corrected.
Yeah. That's the thing. You have it really comes down to the agreements that you have with society. And right now, society has no agreement with its youth. It has no reasonable expectation that things will be better in the future, that your work now will be rewarded. So the entire incentive structure is what the agreement is.
Mm-hmm.
So as we move to an incentive structure that is not completely insane and dishonest and backward, as we move to a functional incentive structure, a functional currency structure, these things will get solved.
It's going to be painful first,
though. It's going to be painful.
It sure is.
It's going to be the storm first and then the calm.
Which is why, like, as an individual, in my opinion, it's wise to be diverse in what you have. Okay, you've got some land. What else do you have? Is that all you got? You know, maybe you should figure on getting some different currencies, some gold, some silver, some crypto, right? Have a variety of things at your disposal because you don't know how it's all going to play out and you want to hedge yourself against, well, what's coming.
Well, that's, I think, the best suggestion here. We've been talking about money things all night, and it can sound like you have no control, right? Like, oh, this government's doing that, and this government's doing that, and all these governments are...
Largely, you don't on a global scale or even a nationwide scale.
But you do have control over your own money, at least for now. They haven't implemented the CBDC 100% yet, so you do still have the ability to do something, and that's what I think people should consider, is what sort of things can you do to protect yourself? You see what's happening in the price of things at the store.
Yes, I do.
Everybody sees the price of eggs now, $5 for
bucks.
The cheapest possible form of egg. That's just one example. Produce prices up 30% in 1 month. I mean, this isn't just the writing on the wall at this point. This is like in your face. This is happening. It's occurring now. So you've got to figure out.
And it ain't getting any better.
Right. No, it's not going to get better. They're going to keep printing. You got $1.7 trillion spending package that just passed last month.
Yep.
And that's going to be another $2 trillion in a few months. You know it. And then they're going to send another $100 billion over to Ukraine. And it's just going to keep going in the same direction it's always gone until something dramatically breaks. And you want to be ready for that as best as possible when that happens.
And the thing is, you see these pieces flying off the ship left and right. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's still going, but not for long. And what's amazing right now is that you actually get rewarded for not participating in their villainous system. So usually when you boycott a thing or when you, we're on strike, like, you suffer and they suffer.
Right.
But in this circumstance, hey, I'm going to use gold. I'm going to use Bitcoin. Not only do I not suffer, I actually get rewarded for the fact that I'm withdrawing my efforts from their corrupt system.
Yeah, I mean, the more that you can do that, whether it be getting into these alternatives like we talked about, still don't dump everything in, right? You still got to use the dollars for paying some bills or whatever, but, don't dump in what you can't afford to lose. But if you're, drinking a six-pack on the weekends and you can cut that out and buy some crypto or some gold instead with that, that might be a wise decision.
Agreed.
The number here, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. And, of course, invest in yourself. See if you can kind of start your own thing on the side. That wouldn't hurt.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. A woman is facing first-degree murder charges after shooting and killing her terminally ill husband inside a Daytona Beach hospital. Police say the victim, Jerry Gillen, was aware of the plan. President Biden's attorney says six additional items, including documents marked as classified, were found in Biden's Delaware home Friday following a Department of Justice search. The documents appear to be related to Biden's time as vice president and from his tenure in the U.S. Senate. Illegal crossings at the U.S.-Mexico border are at record levels. Customs and Border Protection said it stopped more than 250,000 migrants along the southern border in December. It's the 25th anniversary of the first major political scandal to break in the age of the Internet. Americans woke up in 1998 to learn of the alleged affair between then-President Bill Clinton and White House intern Monica Lewinsky. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. The phones are open, and you can join us here. Got time for you if you want to jump in. The number is 603-283-6160.
Yeah.
That's 603-283-6160. That's yes,
right.
Indeed. It's Ian here.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And the captain.
And coming up later tonight, Captain Peakless and Nobody are going to be joining you if you are joining us on watch.freetalklive.com and our various other video streaming platforms. But you can get the full list over at video.lrn.fm. If you go to video.lrn.fm, it'll take you right there to a list of the, you know, again, all these other platforms we're on. Although we prefer Odyssey over all of them, you know, you never know what's going to happen, so it's always good to be on more than one at a time.
What time is that?
That'll be 10:30 Eastern tonight. Beard Talk Live will start at watch.freetalklive.com. It is open phones without any FCC regulations standing in the way.
Yeah.
Indeed.
FCC, yeah.
Let's go to your phone calls and your thoughts here. We got Renee calling us in Louisiana. Go ahead, Renee.
Yeah, my thing is, my concern, because I'm a worker, is wages. I mean, I've seen a lot of history about it. Every time you raise the wage, the food go up, everything go up. My thing is, like Bork said, the Supreme Court nominee that wasn't a Supreme Court guy, you can't legislate morality, but damn, man. I mean, how little should an employer pay a worker? How long and how much should they work them?
Well, the big problem with wages, we have this inflationary currency, so that means prices keep going up. And the wages are the slowest thing to change. So, like, the cost on goods and services, that's easy to change day to day, but how often do you talk to your employer about how much they're paying you? Now, if we had something that was going the other way around, then the fact that wages take so long to change would be great, because then your employer would have to come to you and ask if you will accept a lower wage.
Well, right now, there's never been a better time. I mean, from what I can tell, not being an employee in my life, and thankfully not having to do that for the last most of my two decades, but I can see the signs around town. I can see the absolute desperation of business owners right now, hiring all positions.
Right.
Sign has been up at so many different businesses for months and months, if not more than a year. These people cannot find help, which means if you're a good worker and you're working at that place, you have the leverage to where you can go to the boss and say, hey, look, I can go across the street or I can go across town. And they're willing to pay me more for my services if you don't give me a raise.
But are they? Because, sure, they're all hiring, but you'll notice very few of them will say how much they're hiring at.
A lot of them will say, actually, if you go to Aldi, the grocery store here, they're starting at $16 an hour. So, Renee, what are you dealing with down south? Are they? Do you want to talk about what you're getting paid?
I'm like 54, so I'm angry from the past. Right now, I've explored many jobs. I used to be a deckhand on a boat. I had a captain license. Now I have a CDL working for a trash company.
Okay.
And I'm getting paid pretty good, but I see the crappy end of it when I was working in a hot sauce plant, killing myself for a small paycheck while they're making thousands and thousands of dollars. My thing is, if you listen to Fox News, they swear that the big capitalist guy is like godlike, spinning wealth out of nothing, and like God, like divine right, he gets to pay as little as he can. When history shows that Henry Ford believed in paying his worker top dollar and not working them more than 48 hours because he said they weren't good after that. Why can't other businessmen look at history and see that?
Well, they should be able to do that if the market was allowed to be free.
Right.
Then businesses would be truly competitive. They wouldn't be able to gain an advantage through licensing or some other government program that actually distorts the market, prevents more competition, and leaves the market barren in some areas.
Well, yeah, I mean, Renee mentioned he works for a garbage company. And it wasn't too long ago that we had a story out of Montana about a guy who wanted to start his own garbage company. He decided he was going to go, one guy, go buy a truck. He bought the truck.
Yep.
And then he, was going to buy a Yellow Pages ad or whatever, right? Like, get the word out.
Put
about
a logo on it, Bob's Trash Service, whatever.
And they came after him. They, being the state government, the regulators, said, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You can't just do this.
You can't just pick up people's garbage without having our certificate of need. And what does that mean? That means that some board of people that is, of course, owned by the existing garbage companies, the board of people running this garbage regulator have to be able to say, they have to be able to determine whether or not there's even a need in the marketplace. Not whether or not you've paid the licensing fee and jumped through all the hoops. Right. It's like, you can apply, but we don't even have to approve your application because there may not be a need. If our friends who are currently in the business say they got this, well, then there's no need. And so, sorry about you buying that truck, but it's just not going to work out for you, son. So that's one of the problems here is, like, maybe you're happy, Renee, that you got a good job, but can someone in your area just buy a garbage truck and just start picking up garbage without asking permission from the government first?
May I give a parting shot?
Do you know the answer to that question?
I did scrap metal on my own, but it's usually the scrap metal owner of the buying place that makes the big money.
The difference between
you do a lot of things.
The difference between the market that exists and a free market is that in a free market, you are free to create your own job.
Right. You can compete with the existing people. Go ahead.
Could I add one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe that's what Karl Marx meant about capitalism would lead to communism by not having a free market. The capitalism you have has the miserable effect of might as well be a communist place.
I mean, certainly people under communism are miserable, and so if you're miserable under crony capitalism, what's the difference, I guess? Thank you for the call.
Maybe that's what I meant.
I don't know. Well, the guy was crazy.
And the thing is, if you have the government regulating this out of existence, then you have miserable people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what the communists tend to have a problem with isn't capitalism in the sense of free market. It's capitalism in the sense of these centralized control of all of the wealth. And the centralization of control of wealth can only occur through the machinery of the state.
Thank you, Renee, for the call tonight. And, you know, you want to talk about misery and being depressed is when you have this vision for something you want to do. And a lot of people that are just workers, they don't ever go after anything like this. Or if they do try it, then they get shut down, like this kid that wanted to start up his own garbage business.
Right.
Somebody that has a vision, somebody that has a dream for something that they think they would be good at, and then they look into it because they're actually willing to try it. Like, they've got enough money saved up, and they're like, all right, now I'm going to buy that garbage truck I've been thinking about. And then they find out that there's some bureaucracy that is standing in their way and that will not budge no matter what hoops you jump through. That is true misery, because it is someone who has a calling, somebody who, and you may be laughing, oh, he just wants to take out garbage. Somebody needs to do that work, and there are actually people who enjoy it. There are actually people who, they get pleasure from cleaning up a mess, right? Like, that's something they like to do, and they know they get paid well for it. So it's like, I can do that job. So that's their dream. That's their vision. That's what they wanted to accomplish. And then some government bureaucrats said, nah, can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the disconnect of the whole labor argument, is that what they don't see about this is, okay, yes, you do have this, this company owner or what have you paying a crap wage, and you have this worker who has to accept a crap wage, and that's an intolerable circumstance.
Yeah.
But the way that you get out of that is that some other person comes along and can compete with them and can offer you a better wage, where, like, okay, they're making this much extra. And okay, I will make some extra, but not that much extra. So I'll give you the difference. Now you attract all the workers over here. But if you stop someone from coming in and competing, that is what stops anyone from offering the workers a good wage for their labor.
Yeah. And so people who call for regulations on business are unwittingly actually doing the businesses a favor,
yeah,
by protecting them from any new innovators who might enter that industry.
And there's just so many people in the world, much less the United States, that just don't even have a clue about how the monetary system works,
nope,
about how money itself even works, what money, yeah, even actually is. And so they immediately go to the self-centric, you know, definitions of it, and they worry about themselves. And I detected a bit of that from our last caller, where, you know, he's concerned about his wages. Is really what it's called.
Sure.
It's like, I'm concerned that I'm not going to be able to maintain the wages I'm earning now, much less earn more in the future. And it's a real concern, and it should hopefully spark him to go on a self-education quest to find out all of the things about, even the rudimentary stuff about fractional reserve banking and how the monetary system actually works.
Well, and some of the real truths about how money works are not obvious until you see them from a certain angle. So,
right,
like, we think that, okay, X product is worth Y number of dollars. Like, that's what we think. Okay, a dozen eggs is worth $5. Well, that's the thing. That's never true. A dozen eggs is worth less than $5 from the person selling it, and more than $5 to the person buying it. It has to be, or else we will never come to an agreement on what we will exchange.
Right.
So it isn't worth $5 to anybody at that point. It's worth less, and it's worth more at the same time, and we have to do that, or it won't be worth anyone's time to do this exchange.
Right, the exchange has to be mutually beneficial. The other way that you can tell that we are not in a free market is literally just by watching the prices of things go up as you get older. You know, I'm 50 years old now, and I can't remember a time when prices of anything really came down, with the exception of some of the unregulated markets, right? Like the big screen TVs when they first came out, plasma, HD, and all that stuff. Yeah, and now you can get them at Walmart for like $400 or whatever, right? You know, and they're 4K and, you know, incredible, all that kind of crap. Like, so outside of stuff that's heavily unregulated.
Yep.
But everything else has gone up in price over time since I've been alive. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to the phones here. Speaking of communists, Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yes, I was watching TV, and then they have this new gas, within the pipe. It's a new cooling and heating system. I don't know what it is.
A new gas what? Cooling and heating system?
Yeah, it goes through the pipes throughout the houses. And when it gets hot, the gas becomes cold, and it comes back, and then when it gets cold, the gas warms up the house. So the latest thing that came out, and I don't really even have the name for it. What it is, I just watched it really quick.
When I get gas, it doesn't warm the house. It stinks at the house.
But it's a new technology, and I think there's people that actually have this installed. And it's supposed to be very environmental and very cost-effective. I mean, it doesn't... Okay.
Well, it doesn't really help us very much if you don't know the name of this technology. And where it doesn't seem like it's ringing any bells over here, Sarah. Was that what you were trying to do, is find out the name of it?
Well, not the name. It's just that I was wondering if you were heads up with this technology. You know what I mean?
I have no idea what you were describing.
Well, you know, I lived in an apartment where when it was cold, they had the warm water going through the pipes, and then they had that fan blowing through it. And then when it was hot, they had the cold water running through the pipes with a fan running through the little metal pipes. And it did kind of like somewhat work. I mean, I wasn't really that hot. I wasn't really that cold, but it was just water going through. And this is the old style, like the hot water heater, but instead of that, they have a special gas that does a thing automatically. So I'm just completely impressed, and I hope this thing really works well.
Well, one thing's for sure, that over time we're going to have more new inventions hitting the scene as far as cooling and heating technology. It's going to become more efficient than it ever has. We've got a propane heater now here at this house. It used to be where we're doing the show from. It used to be an oil furnace, and the propane heater is, from what I can tell, much more efficient. Very efficient device. I mean, you still got to pay a lot for propane, but you know, if it's more efficient, then in theory it should be cheaper over time, I guess.
I wonder if she's talking about like the mini split system.
I don't know, and I don't want to try to figure it out.
Yeah, I've seen that mini split system. They install it in the room, so if the device looks like a flat air conditioning unit, but it does warm and heat each room separately, so if you install it. But this is something to do with some kind of a special gas, and it's going through one thing. It's not freon. Freon just only does one thing. It keeps everything cold. But this is a gas that works both ways. When it's hot outside,
maybe you're talking about a heat pump. I don't know. Like, heat pumps are a thing. That's a heater and a cooling device. We have one here in this studio to regulate the temperature here. Sarah, you can check online, look up heat pump, and see if that is the thing you're looking for. And I thank you for the call tonight.
I don't know.
It's me.
I'm not an HVAC tech, you know. It's not my my line of work.
It's not HVAC Talk Live.
No. Nope.
But if someone is coming up with a really, really efficient system for heating, now is the time, because Europe is so screwed.
I still love the compost heating system.
Oh, yeah.
This is completely free as long as you can afford a solar-powered aquarium pump. Right, and some tubing to put under your flooring. So basically, you have a compost pile.
Indoors?
Yeah, so your compost pile is outside.
Oh, okay.
Right? And what you do is you put a copper coil in the bottom center of your compost pile.
Uh-huh.
And then you plumb some PEX, you know, plumbing lines to that. And then you plug those into your radiant flooring. Right? This is very common, these radiant floors.
Yep,
right? It is just a little bit of water that runs through underneath the flooring. And so you have to heat the water in order for the radiant heat to come up. So instead of using like a furnace or something to heat the water to do that, you're just taking the heat from your compost pile, which occurs naturally within composting.
Huh.
That's because it's just organic stuff breaking down. It creates heat. Mm-hmm. And so that's heating the copper coil inside of the compost. And then if you have a solar-powered aquarium pump, that's just moving the water, keeping the
hot. And it heats it enough to where you can actually feel it?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I love the idea.
That's amazing. That's a cool idea. As long as you have an outdoor, right? Like if you're in one of those European apartment buildings, then you're SOL.
Well, yeah, but here in New Hampshire, like, I mean, this could be something that every household has, right?
Sure.
I mean, not every, but like as long as you're not in an apartment.
That's what I'm saying,
yeah.
A lot of these Europeans are in apartment buildings.
Or togetherments, as I like to call them, because they don't keep people apart. They bring them together.
That has not been my experience of apartments. It's very hard to, like, get together.
Get to know people.
It's very hard to get to know people that are in your apartment.
Apartments would be like, you know, oh, we want to move you further away from everybody else, apart from everybody else. But that's apartment buildings cram them all into one building, and so now they're all together.
I get your point, Captain. You know, it's something we haven't been hearing about. I mean, we heard a lot on the months running up to the wintertime about how bad things were going to get in Europe. And I haven't heard. I'm sure they're experiencing whatever it is that they're, you know, the difficulties and the gas prices and everything. But I haven't seen the stories.
I was expecting massive death tolls, honestly. I'm surprised that they haven't had, well, and maybe I just haven't heard it because they have
maybe they're suppressing the stories.
Incredibly controlled media over there.
That's true.
But, it hasn't been bad enough that I've heard of anyway.
Well, meanwhile,
some
I bet
that's going to get out.
Meanwhile, I bet they're toasty warm at the Davos World Economic Forum this week.
Oh, I guarantee
with
that.
With their 3,000 hookers they trucked in.
Yeah, even Greta Thunberg is there.
Hmm? As a hooker?
I don't know.
I mean, she kind of is, but what was your question?
They did a head count?
Yeah, I actually read an article like yesterday, day before, that apparently is something like 3,000 prostitutes were brought in for the WEF meeting.
Can't blame them. I mean, there's money to be made.
Bunch of wealthy tyrants.
One thing I did want to mention, since we're doing sort of a financial-oriented one, so they changed the way that they did CPI numbers.
Oh, again?
Yeah, again.
Like, just recently?
Yeah, just recently. Just
is that why the numbers have been, quote-unquote, going down?
Yep.
What did they do?
So they moved it from being 2 years to being 1 year.
Reminder listeners what CPI is and why it's important.
It's the Consumer Price Index, which it measures the, in theory, it measures the inflation of prices.
Of some prices.
Yeah, of some prices.
They changed the formula in like 1980, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And then did they do it again after that in
90? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they've been tweaking it, and they'll do this and they'll do that, and like, we don't need to measure steak, we'll measure ground beef instead, and little things like that. It's mm-hmm. a very manipulated number. Now, most recently, it's a very big change because it's a short-term very big change because instead of doing it by 2 years, they do it by just 1 year. So over the next, like, 3 months, you're going to see the thing just plummet because the difference of 1 year is way bigger than if you measured it over 2 years.
Okay, but when did this go into effect?
Just recently. Like within the last
January
week,
1st?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say the New York Times is saying it was 6.5% annually through December. So they're mm-hmm. still reporting the number, at least the most recent one, as being an annual thing.
Right. So this next one coming up is going to reflect the change that they just made in how they count the thing.
Okay.
So Jay Powell's going to look like a genius. Oh, my, I raised it just perfectly and we're ready for a soft landing. Mm-hmm. And see, now, so I think they're going to do the fabled pivot is on its way. So like they went from raising by 3/4 of a percentage point to 0.5 percentage point point. Mm-hmm. I think the next one's probably, like, I thought the next one was going to be 3/4 of a point. Now I see this, and I'm like, oh, you have the excuse to just completely turn this thing around. So I think the next one's going to be a 1/4 of a point instead of a 1/2 of a point, mm-hmm. and the market's going to go, yay!
I mean, isn't this one going to be obvious that they're going to start reporting 2-year instead of 1-year?
No.
Where was this announced?
Mark Moss was talking about it on his podcast. So that was how I heard about it.
I mean, I would think that they would just change the formulation rather than change the...
And that's usually what they do, is they change, like, how they're calculating it.
Number of years.
But, like, no, they decided to change it to 1 year instead of 2 years.
2 years instead of 1 year.
Right. No. To counting it by 1 year instead of counting it by 2 years, so that it isn't averaged out as much. So the shift is going to be much wider.
I'm sorry. I thought you had said they changed it from an annual calculation to a every 2 years calculation.
Nope, the other way around. Every 2 years is what it was, and now they're shifting to annual.
Yeah. So, see, that's
okay,
the thing.
I'm totally confused, because they've always been reporting it as annual. What am I missing here?
Well, that they would take 2 years of data for your starting point.
Okay. And then calculate the annual from that?
Right. Now it's just straight up annual. So,
totally misunderstood.
And this isn't going to help them very much down the line.
Clarity
this is good. Only going to help them for the next couple of counting sessions because of where we're coming from.
Hmm.
But it's going to give them the excuse to lighten up on the regulation of currency. So I think that pivot is heading very soon.
And these are some of the tricks that governments do, like when the Fukushima nuclear thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of concern, particularly on the West Coast where I lived at the time, about radiation and, like, you know, we'll stock up on iodine and, you know, all this kind of thing. But what the government did is they just took whatever the number is that was supposed to be the safe amount of radiation for human beings. They just bumped that up by, like, you know, 10 points or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I go, oh, it's fine. It's totally within the tolerance.
Kind of like how they changed the definition of recession.
Exactly, yeah. Like that, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so just a heads up on what this is going to mean. When the pivot comes, there will initially be a rise in the values of, like, stocks and land and everything, and then there will be a sudden plummet that doesn't last very long. At least that's what happened every other time that they pivoted.
Hmm. According to The Economist story, I just was looking to see what's going on in Europe. The energy crisis in Europe's astonishing luck. They say that temperatures are warmer this winter. So that is one reason why things are not as difficult thus far.
Yay, global warming!
Otherwise,
you're welcome.
Check these guys out. About a half an hour, they're going to start Beard Talk Live over at watch.freetalklive.com. And then we'll see you tomorrow night for more Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.